causing any trouble.
Fox's Mike Tobin. A would-be carjacker was shot and killed outside a Utah grocery store. Police say the shooter, who had a concealed weapons permit, likely won't face charges. Fox News, we report, you decide.
660 AM. The Answer.
Business owners, listen up.
Give me an I.
Give me an M.
Give me a Z.
What's that spell?
Incorporation. Protection. Success. Incorporate your business.
INC. If you're about to start a business, these three little letters can make the difference between making a fortune and losing everything. Because if you're not incorporated and someone sues your business, you can lose it all. Your home, your car, even your life savings. That's why Incorporate.com is now giving away a free incorporation guide to all business owners, so you can incorporate or form an LLC in just 10 minutes. Protect your home. Protect your car. Protect your life savings. Call 1-800-500-9483 for your free 10-minute incorporation guide from Incorporate.com. They don't provide legal or financial advice. They just make incorporating quick and easy.
Incorporation. Protection. Success. Incorporate your business.
Call now for your free guide. 1-800-500-9483. That's 1-800-500-9483.
660 AM. The Answer.
America's liberty is under assault, and women are rising to the defense. It's time for Ladies Can We Talk on 660 AM The Answer. Common sense talk with women and men about politics and standing up for America. With your host, nationally acclaimed speaker and author, Debbie Georgiatis. Ladies Can We Talk starts now.
Hello there, and welcome back to Ladies Can We Talk. Thank you so very much for tuning in. I appreciate that. I just fastest and most fun 2 hours of my week. I love doing this show. I would do 2 hours every day. It's so much fun. Well, we decided we have in our second hour of our show, we have my leading ladies, rotating of six different ladies and two of them each time. And today we have Lori Medina and Mari Sullivan here. And we decided we were going to just launch with each person grabbing a subject and taking hold of it. So all I'll say before I pass off to Lori is that my husband just texted me and said, "You're ruffling your papers." So yes, if you hear my paper ruffling, I do just... Like when I picture Limbaugh, you know, my stack of stuff, I have a lot of paper in front of me because I get the right story. So anyway, sorry if that was distracting. And Lori Medina, are you ready to roll?
I am ready. So I tonight decided to pick the Clintons to talk about what is going on with them. You know, they have become a very sad soap opera in America. And it just seems like every day we have more and more scandalous information that comes out. And I really wanted to focus this time on that, because sometimes we just hear so much negative things about them that it's easy just to cast aside and say, oh, well, that's just their political enemies. They're stirring up trouble. But I really want to talk about what this really all means, because ultimately where this leads to is the question of what kind of leader would Hillary be as president? That's the question we all want to answer. I think for a lot of us conservatives, we know the answer to that. But for people that would be considered Reagan Democrats or people in the middle, that's an important question that they need to have answered. And so I really want to talk about this Clinton cash thing. You guys know that the book is coming out this Tuesday. It's been talked about for almost a month. It's not even out. Actually, it's already in the fifth printing before it's even come out, because it's already pre-sold so many books. It's written by Peter Schweitzer. And really, the whole crux of this whole book and this whole scandal is two major things. And it's really the intersection of these two data points. And it is the flow of foreign money to the Clintons intersecting with timing of their decisions. So if you can just focus on those two things and apply those two data points to all the information I'm going to give you, you're going to realize there's a problem, people. There's a big problem out there. Okay. It all started back with in early March, we started hearing about Emailgate. Just to remind everybody, we started hearing about, you know, poor Hillary. She could only have one device in her little hands because it was just too hard holding two devices. So she had to have a private email for all of her emails, which, by the way, is not what you're supposed to be doing as a public official. It turns out she had the private server located in her Westchester home, tucked away there. Later, we find out that there were 30,000 emails deleted, supposedly because it had to do with her yoga classes, her mother, and her daughter's wedding. So You know, at the time, many Republicans and conservatives were thinking, well, because she was hiding information about Benghazi, because that was really the point of discussion. And it came out in those hearings that, this server existed. Well, we later, coming out with all this Clinton cash book and this information, we're realizing that was just the tiny tip of the iceberg. All this information about what's really going on in the Clinton Foundation, quite likely that's what she was hiding with those emails. Okay, so let's talk about Bill. So after Bill became a post president, after his presidency, he began going out there doing speaking, for paid. And the way it usually works for former presidents is that they go out, they do speeches, and in the beginning, they're paid a lot of money because everybody wants to hear the early scoop of, you know, what's behind the scenes, rumors and talks and chit chats, what happened behind the scenes. And so a lot of money is paid these presidents after their presidency. And then usually over a period of time, the speaking fees trail off just because everybody's heard the stories. I mean, it's just a natural thing. Well, guess what? With Bill, it happened the opposite way. It went up. And all of a sudden, it just happened to be timed with when Hillary Clinton became Secretary of State. That's when his speaking fees doubled and tripled in size. And let me just give everybody a taste for our listening audience of how much he was actually paid for these speaking fees. He was paid upwards of $500,000 and more for
over half a million
for those out in Rio Linda. Yes,
yeah, I was going to say that.
He was paid over $500,000 for speaking. Now, you know, I would pay that much money to hear Jesus.
Yeah.
And I'm not, I mean, really, but I don't know, other than hearing Jesus, I don't know who else I would pay that money for. I really don't. And so, but people are paying this money. And go back to my original, what I said, it's the flow of foreign money intersecting with the timing of decisions. It had to do with Hillary was sitting at the Secretary of State. Now, let me also tell you that these speeches where he's paid over $500,000, guess where they came from? Foreign countries. And let me just tell you who some of those foreign countries were. Russia, United Arab Emirates, China, Hong Kong, Nigeria. These are the countries that are paying him these exorbitant, ridiculous amounts of money to come speak. Just to let you know also, the Better Business Bureau is now calling Clinton Foundation. They have found that they have failed to meet minimum standards of accountability as of 2013. Charity Navigator, who's like a foundation that kind of is a overseer or watcher of charities, they have put Clinton Foundation on their watch list.
Wow.
It has come out that the last 5 years, Clinton Foundation, they did not file the right taxes or according to them, they said they just put the numbers in the wrong columns. That's all it was. Well, it turns out that they left off their tax returns 1,100 foreign donations over 5 years. 1100, 1,100 foreign donations. So there's so much more that we don't even know about yet. Beyond that, all of the Clinton defenders, they keep saying, well, you know, but you can't deny that the Clinton Foundation is doing so much good out there. They're helping so many people. Well, actually, what it comes down to is 10% of every dollar that is spent by the Clinton Foundation is actually going towards any kind of charitable work. 10%. That means 90% is going to the Clintons and their friends and living a very high lifestyle. Now, okay, let's get into the meat of some of these bad dealings. First of all, there's one, this is a quick one. This guy is a mining tycoon. His name is Stephen Detels. And he just decided he wanted to give 2 million shares of stock, of his stock, of his mines, mining stock, to the Clinton Foundation. And then guess what happened after that? Well, the State Department pressured Bangladesh to reauthorize the mining permits of Stephen Detels. And guess what happened then? The value of the stock massively increased. So you can see what happens. Money comes in, decisions are made so that people profit. including the Clintons gratuitously. The other big one, there's many of these deals, but the other big one that's thrown around and been talked about a lot, including New York Times, did a very large and in-depth expose regarding this uranium deal. In that deal, there's a Canadian mining tycoon. His name is Frank Gustra. Frank decides he wants to introduce Bill to the Kazakhstan dictator. Bill goes to Kazakhstan, shakes hands, publicly praises this dictator. The dictator wins his election by a wide margin, of course, because most dictators do, because he's a dictator. Then, suddenly, Hillary she's Secretary of State. She then pressures Kazakhstan to sell their uranium to this Canadian mining tycoon, Frank. So much so that the Secretary of State won't even allow talks to happen with Kazakhstan until this dictator sells off the uranium. Well, the Canadian mining tycoon, Frank, he goes around, he gets the uranium from Kazakhstan, a bunch of other countries. He acquires a bunch of uranium from America. Then all of a sudden, he sells it to Russia, which that deal has to be approved by the Secretary of State. So Russia now owns 20% of America's former mining resources. And interestingly enough is that at that same time, Bill was asked to go speak in Moscow. And guess how much he was paid? $500,000. And guess where the check came from? It was a bank that was linked directly with the Kremlin. And over that same time period, Canadian mining tycoon Frank gave the Clinton Foundation $31.3 million. So I can go story after story after story, this Clinton cash book, of the intersection of flow of foreign money and the timing of decisions. And so my question is to you, Mari. I'm going to ask you, all of the apologists are saying, there's no smoking gun, there's no email, there's no record of this. What do you think about this?
I think that's a very interesting question. And I'm sure that Governor Bob McConnell was asking that same question. And the fact of the matter is, yep. is that he is now in prison because there was a case brought and a conviction obtained without any so-called smoking gun, or evidence of quid pro quo. There was a pattern of monies and services flowing to the governor, which compared to Hillary Clinton's State Department is comparatively minor. And yet he's in prison for 2 years and then is going to have a supervised release. And what I would be in favor of is also looking at Senator Bob Menendez. He has mm-hmm. been brought to task by the Department of Justice for bribery. Well, why isn't the same standard applied to Hillary Clinton at the State Department?
I totally agree, Mari. And Debbie, so with all these accusations of unethical, immoral, and illegal wrongdoings, what do you think the Democratic Party is going to do? Because they do need a presidential candidate.
They do. And, we were just debating this the other day. Will Hillary ever stand down? Because if she sees the writing on the wall that she may not win the nomination, my guess is she is going to feign the acquisition of some terrible disease. She's not going to just say, never mind, I can't win. But leaving her aside, I actually said a couple of years ago in a speech, and people said, that's never going to happen. I think the big one to be worried about is Michelle Obama. And mm-hmm. I'm not kidding. Mm-hmm. She joked on Letterman just last week, I think it mm-hmm. was, about running for president. But I'm telling you, conservatives out there, Michelle Obama would be harder for the conservatives to beat than Hillary. She would be a major, and that's why I think they're going to look to her. I mean, they got O'Malley. Bernie mm-hmm. Sanders is too far left for even the Democrats. O'Malley is just, I think he's just kind of a flash in the pan. Maybe Elizabeth Warren. I think they'll look to Michelle Obama, and I think she'd eat it right up.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. Well, listen, thanks so much, Debbie, for letting me chronicle the Clinton disasters this week. And, we've got, I'm sure, a lot more to come.
With this subject, it'll be endless fodder until she finally drops out. But we're going to zip off to a break here. This is Ladies Can We Talk, Debbie Georgiadis and Mari Sullivan and Lori Medina. And we're going to come back after the break and jump back in. And please feel free to call at 866-660-5759.
Hey, 3 hours a day is all I ask. Join me, Sean Hannity, from 2 to 5 each weekday, right here on 660 AM, The Answer.
Sex trafficking of America's children. It's happening in our own communities. Yes, right here in Dallas-Fort Worth. Every day, thousands of vulnerable children are sexually exploited in America, lured into sex trafficking, drugged, and forcibly sold into slavery. What's fueling the demand for sex trafficking in the U.S.? How do we fight it and save lives? Park City's Republican Women invites you Tuesday, May 19th at 6:30 p.m. to hear Elisa Jordheim, author of the book Made in the USA, Sex Trafficking of America's Children, and co-founder of the Justice Society. Park City's Republican Women are committed to making a difference about key issues affecting our city, state, and nation. Learn about sex trafficking in the U.S. and how we can help eliminate these crimes against children. Join us Tuesday, May 19th at 6:30 p.m. at the Museum of Biblical Art, 7500 Park Lane in Dallas. For more information, visit our website, parkcitiesrepublicanwomen.org, or call 214-924-8688. Or email pcrw@parkcitiesrepublicanwomen.org.
On the line with us is Christy, who is the latest success story in the new venture on Wall Street, Knowledge is Better Than Gold Seminars. Christy, just about anyone can do this, can't they?
Everybody can do this from home. Women make fantastic traders. People don't see that because they think Wall Street, that's men. You know what? It's not. You don't have to have that, you know, trading thing. And once you're done with us, we've taught you a skill set that you can have for the rest of your life. Nobody can ever take that knowledge away from you. And that's a big deal. Knowledge is power, as everybody knows. And once you know how to trade stocks, you've got something no matter which way the economy goes.
Attend the next seminar in Dallas, May 8th and 9th at the Hyatt Regency Dallas, 701 East Campbell Road in Richardson. And in Fort Worth at the Norris Conference Center, 304 Houston Street. To register, call 877-907-TRADE. That's 877-907-TRADE, 877-907-TRADE. Or go online to NVOWS.com. That's NVOWS.com.
What's the best way to bring people together?
T-shirts!
T-shirts. Custom T-shirts that you design online with custom ink. The fun, easy way to make shirts you'll love for your group or occasion. Custom Ink has created over 50 million shirts for families, teams, reunions, church groups, cheerleaders, companies big and small. So go online and see how easy it is to design your own shirts with Custom Ink's online design lab. Our website has tons of fonts and amazing artwork. And our team of professional inkers will make sure your shirts turn out perfectly. Order one shirt or thousands. On-time delivery is guaranteed, and we'll even ship your order absolutely free.
Start designing your custom ink t-shirts today and see why 99% of our customers say they would order from us again. Visit customink.com.
There is something about the road that beckons, that invites us to pack up the family and leave the world behind. And there is something about an industry-leading unlimited mileage warranty on a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz that gives us the freedom to do exactly that. You take to the highway, rack up the miles for up to 3 years, and drive with the assurance that your Mercedes-Benz is covered. You have the security of being in a car that has been certified to Mercedes-Benz standards, while you enjoy a carefree ownership experience for miles and miles. But while the mileage is unlimited, your time to take advantage of our certified pre-owned sales event is not.
Now through June 1st, you can also receive complimentary prepaid maintenance and your first 2 months' payments on us on select models, plus 3 months of Sirius XM satellite radio. So hurry into your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer today and see why we say the odometer is there to record the memories.
See your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer for complete details and limitations on certified pre-owned warranties.
Listen to us live on iHeartRadio, 660 AM, The Answer.
We return to Ladies Can We Talk with host Debbie Georgiadis on 660 AM, The Answer.
Hey there, welcome back. I'm so glad you're tuning in to Ladies Can We Talk. And this is 2 hours raced by every week. And this is Debbie Georgiadis. And this is our second hour when I have my leading ladies that join me. And this week I have Mari Sullivan and Lori Medina. I'm going to do my leading, my segment this hour. And I want to... I bet a lot of you listening, or some of you at least, subscribe to the Dallas Morning News. And, you know, I sometimes will bring out points that the morning news or stories they cover where I think that they reveal liberal bias. And I like to point that. I think it's very important to be alert to that as a consumer of news, as a person who's concerned about America, to be sure you're really getting the whole story. But this week, what I wanted to turn to was a column by a gentleman who has a regular column in Dallas Morning News named Steve Blow. And the title of this column was, Does America Really Need Restoring? Two views. And he's taking on, he mentions at the beginning of his column that, you know, he thinks it's odd to be hearing from candidates in this presidential election cycle, which is already gearing up. He thinks it's odd to be hearing people using the terms restoring or recovering our nation's greatness. And he makes specific reference to Rand Paul talking about a return to prosperity, Ted Cruz speaking of reigniting the promise of America, and then Ben Carson's new book is subtitled Rediscovering What Made This Nation Great. And so he's kind of saying, what are you talking about? And he, Steve Blow, speaks of his own opinion, says, you know, I don't even know what they're talking about. I think the country's never been better. That's his word, never been better. He says, oh, we have problems, sure, but we also have more fairness, whatever that word means, and opportunity for more citizens than ever before. So he says, I know I'm biased. So he went and talked to a professor, a gentleman named Alan Sachs, who is in his 50th, God bless him, 50th, 50, year of teaching political science at the University of Texas in Arlington, and said, you know, what do you think? So this guy, Alan Sachs, said, well, yeah, I am concerned. You know, he sees American civilization is on its downside. And this guy writing the column, Steve Blow, was saying essentially, you know, he asks him, well, what are you talking about? And he says he finds his comments, the comments of Alan Sachs, frustratingly vague in talking about the threats he perceives. And he says it's not any one thing. It seems more related to the pace and scope of change. So I decide I'm going to tell you why I think all these candidates are finding a message of restore, renew, return to America's greatness, why that message is resonating with the American people. And I really, really think it is. I think since President Barack Obama became president in his first term, I think Americans around the country, a wide variety of ages, ethnicities, race, background, they listened to what President Obama was saying, and they were saying, hey, that's not America. That's not an American value. There's something wrong here. So the things that this Professor Sachs listed, which are just utterly dismissed by this columnist, he mentioned, are we teaching love of country and respect for freedom? Is it instilled in children like it once was? He worries about the manner of immigration. He worries about immigrants don't strive to become American. He worries that schools accommodate diversity to the point they don't teach or share what America is. Like, he wants the immigrants to know what we are. He talks about decline in the work ethic and personal responsibility, decline in religious freedom and freedom of speech. Okay, if that seems to you vague or conjectural or frustratingly vague, I don't even know what to say to you. So I'm going to embellish in some of those and tell you what but first I'm going to tell you my kind of core thing that I think I find most frustrating in terms of and why I think the message of restoring America has such strength today. There is an increased boldness on the American left, both in the politicians, in the media, in Hollywood, just in the entire leftist culture, a boldness that says, we're going to bully you. You're not going to be able to say something we don't agree with. We're going to shut you down. And this is happening over and over in America through the use of political correctness, through the use of mocking, derision. And it is if you have any concerns about Sharia law, you're an Islamophobe. If you're concerned about growing populations in America, like Somalians who've moved into various Somalian refugees who've come to America, there's a big group in Minnesota that shuts itself off from the community and that is ends up sending terrorists over to fight for ISIS, like on the side of ISIS. This is, my thought on this is you can't say things anymore because you are bullied by the left. I'm just going to tell you some of the issues I think that we are bullied on. On the subject of marriage, many people support through their Judeo-Christian values or just simply, even if they're not religious, they think marriage is a man and a woman. You can't even say that anymore, or you're homophobe. You can barely defend marriage without being mocked, derided, and shut down, especially on college campuses, especially if you're a young person. On this whole thing about Islam, we in America watch what's happened with ISIS. We hear stories about Saudi Arabia, women can't drive. We hear Islamic countries where women are stoned to death because they were victims of rape. But if you say something negative about Islam in America, you're an Islamophobe. We even have, back in the subject of marriage, we even had the very liberal Bill Maher on television. He's got some show, I would never watch it, but he's got some show on television where he talks about the gay mafia. He uses that expression saying they shut down everyone who won't agree with them. On the subject of race, we're walking on pins and needles. We had just had literally hundreds of maybe thousands of young Black Americans engaged in a riot in Baltimore, and there's now criticism all over the internet because somebody used the word thug. Now, President Obama used it. I guess that was okay. But you can't even describe behavior, burning buildings and rocking cars and throwing rocks at police officers. You can't call it being a thug. So that's one thing. You talk about restoring America. It resonates because people say, hey, you know what? Yeah, I'm tired of the bullying. I'll tell you a few other things. Our president, this country, our president of the United States, is right now negotiating with the biggest terrorist exporting country in the world, Iran, to give them nuclear weapons and to drop all sanctions against them. And we have zero politicians in Washington willing to stand up and stop him. This is alarming. I think the lack of bravery, it is one of the things you watch, lack of bravery of conservative politicians in Washington. Yeah, I want America restored. I want America a strength, a leader in the world. So therefore, I want those people in Washington who have the moral obligation, they were elected. I want them to stand up and stop the president giving Iran nuclear weapons. I don't think that's outrageous. I think the restoring America notion of the economy, nearly half of America pays no taxes. We got too many people sitting in the cart and too few cart pullers and are getting tired of it. We have nearly 70% of the U.S. budget going for entitlement spending. We hear candidates run on, I'm going to spend this and cut this. 70% of the U.S. budget is on entitlement spending and masses of Americans living in dependence on government. And this is by design. This gives the left power. This is why they do it, because it gives them those voters. And so, yeah, I think America needs a restoration of the idea of hard work and accomplishment. We need to end the entitlement mentality. We need to stand up for the goodness and greatness of America. We need to be able to stand up for marriage. So I think to me, when a politician says, I want to restore America, I want to hear what he means or she means. But I think America needs restoring. And Lori and Mari, I were a little bit, I do want to, do you have a thought about this restoring thing?
Yeah, just real quick. I feel like that our founding fathers, when they founded this great nation, it was on the idea that the government would serve individuals. And now we're at the point in the time of our history of our nation is that the individuals are serving the government. And that is what is taught in the schools. And that is what is happening with children. That's what's happening in Baltimore, obviously. The individual is serving the government every aspect from cradle to grave. We are serving the government and the cronies, the elitists at the top of the government. And that's what I believe needs to be restored.
I like that.
I loved what John Kennedy said. Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. And that seems like a bygone era now.
Yep.
Yeah, well, you just thought of America. And, you know, I will say, I thought everything that this professor from UT Arlington said is right on the money. In fact, Blow kind of mocked him and said, well, gee, he's an immigrant, and now he's questioning the system of immigration. Well, of course he is. The immigration system consists of people walking over the border and with utter lawlessness, and the American left working as hard as they can to make them legal. This is not an immigration system. We know. I want to give Steve Blow a good dose of my thinking. I hope he's listening. Anyway, this is Debbie Georgiatis, and my buds for the week, or my leading ladies for the week, Mari Sullivan, Lori Medina. And we're going to come up on a break here and come back and hear Mari's story of the week, which she has a barn burner. So if you're thinking of going away, don't do it. She's got a barn burner. Debbie Georgiatis, ladies, can we talk? Come on back after our break.
Saying I don't know is no longer acceptable. This is 660 AM, The Answer.
Hi, Debbie Georgiadis here, and it's time for a Liberty Minute on the subject of legal immigration. America's goodness springs in large part from the spirit of immigrants who left everything behind in the hopes of experiencing freedom and pursuing their dreams for a better life in America, and then made the all-important transition to the role of citizen. Citizenship ceremonies include the moving moment when immigrants become citizens and recite an oath that says they promise to support and defend the Constitution and laws of the United States of America, so help me God. Legal immigration honors the individual who honors liberty and honors the American rule of law. It's that simple. Amnesty, especially when conferred by executive order, deprives the individual of earning the honor of citizenship and valuing the privilege of liberty. That's one reason it's wrong. And that's your Liberty Minute on immigration.
If you're overwhelmed by debt and thinking about going to a credit counseling company for help, think again, because the majority of those companies actually work for the credit card companies, and they make the credit card companies a lot of money from people just like you. But there's another way out of debt, and it's not bankruptcy, a way to reduce your debts and save you thousands of dollars. Even better, you can find out how for free by calling 1-800-998-5539. At Freedom Debt Relief, we're not a credit counseling organization. We're not a debt consolidation company. We offer a unique alternative to save you the most money possible to resolve your debt in the shortest amount of time. If you're thinking about a credit counselor, ask yourself this. Are they working for you or the credit card companies? Reduce your debts and save thousands of dollars by learning the secrets to settling your debt. For free information, call 1-800-998-5539. That's 1-800-998-5539. 1-800-998-5539.
The earthquake in Nepal destroyed entire cities and villages and killed thousands. Now the orphans, the injured, and the sick, they're still suffering. Disease is spreading. People are dying. Let me tell you how you can save lives. Call the well-known medical charity Project Hope at toll-free 1-844-454-HOPE and pledge your gift to rush emergency medical supplies to the destruction zone. Tons of donated medical supplies are ready to go. We just need the funding to ship it. Every dollar saves one life. Nepal needs thousands. Call now to ship much-needed supplies to Nepal and start saving lives immediately. Call now with your gift of $50, $100, or more. Any amount you give will make a huge difference. Call toll-free 1-844-454-HOPE. That's 1-844-454-4673. Or give online at projecthopeairlift.com.
They say every healthy relationship should have a balance of predictability and spontaneity. In fact, it is that assurance of security that makes the spontaneous possible. Your relationship with your car should be a little like that, too. With our industry-leading unlimited mileage warranty, your certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz instills a sense of confidence. You drive away knowing that you can keep driving for up to 3 years and never have to worry about the miles. Add to that our complimentary prepaid maintenance on select models, and your certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz becomes the ultimate carefree escape vehicle.
Only during the Mercedes-Benz Certified Pre-Owned Sales event going on now through June 1st can you receive your first 2 months payments on us on select models, plus 3 months of Sirius XM satellite radio.
So hurry in today. It might just be the most predictable spur-of-the-moment decision you've ever made.
See your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer for complete details and limitations on certified pre-owned warranties.
Dallas, Fort Worth's home for stimulating talk. 660 AM, The Answer.
More of Ladies Can We Talk with Debbie Georgiadis, right here on 660 AM, The Answer.
Hello there, and again, welcome back, and thank you for tuning in, Ladies Can We Talk. You know, we're going to turn this in this segment to Mari's subject she wanted to choose, but I want to throw in something really quick. I just happened to see, I have my computer up and one of the websites up. I just saw this amazing story. I'll just tell you the headline, which is, in Nepal, with this horrible earthquake they've suffered and all the damage, they just pulled a 101-year-old man out of the rubble who's alive. Okay, isn't that a beautiful thing?
That
I don't know why this makes
thing.
Me smile.
Miracle.
That makes me smile too, Debbie.
Yeah. So no further ado, Mari Sullivan, take it away.
Well, I think that we are all aware that the liberals are latched on to this concept that they never want to let a crisis go to waste. And what I've noticed is when they have these crises and it's on a regular basis, what goes to waste are my rights. And one of the crises that has led to an attack of due process on college campuses is the rape culture, that all the college campuses are engendering a rape culture. And this has been debunked statistically by statistics from the Department of Justice. Debbie, you've talked about this before. And the claim that there are 1 in 5 women sexually assaulted is not true. By a Department of Justice survey, the actual statistics for sexual assault on campus are 6 in 1,000, and actual rape is 2 in 1,000. Now, of course, we don't want any rapes or sexual assaults or sexual harassment. And the idea that you can eliminate that from life, unfortunately,
is utopian.
Is utopian. But the good thing is we have criminal statutes where you are, you can be prosecuted if somebody accuses you of sexual assault or rape. Well, all right, here is a headline to pique everybody's interest. There was a letter sent to the Boston Globe by 28 Harvard law professors. One of them is Alan Dershowitz, very concerned that Harvard has adopted procedures for deciding cases of alleged sexual misconduct which lack the most basic elements of fairness and due process and are overwhelmingly stacked against the accused. How does this come about? This comes about because President Obama and the radical left fringe have ginned up the rallying cry that there is a college rape crisis. So what happened? Bureaucrats at the Department of Education and the Office of Civil Rights, they have a very important job to make sure that there isn't any sexual or race-oriented discrimination or harassment on college campuses. That's critical, and that's their job. But when this particular hysteria was fomented, and it's political because the Democrats want their women to know that they are protecting them. Why do they want that? To get their vote. Thoughts right. on that, Debbie?
Oh, yeah. They just want women to think there's a huge crisis, you're a victim, and we're here to save you. But yeah,
right. But what this results in, and here's what I'm concerned about. If we aren't always looking at where our country is going, and if our rights are protected, we'll lose them. And this is happening on college campuses. You've just heard me read what 28 law professors thought about the procedure set up on Harvard to deal with this issue. Why are schools doing this? Because in April of 2011, the Office of Civil Rights sent out a letter to all universities and schools. The Office of Civil Rights has jurisdiction to oversee compliance with the federal anti-discrimination statutes by every college and university that accepts federal funding, which is virtually all universities, because if you take a student loan backed by the federal government or you get a research grant by the federal government, you are federally funded. So a failure to comply with an OCR directive and regulation can result in the loss of funding. So this gets schools' attention.
So the schools are threatened to do exactly what OCR is telling them.
Well, it's used as an enforcement tool. So what they said is, we want you to, they have these boards and procedures for dealing with sexual harassment, but now take it a step further into actual cases of criminal sexual harassment or assault and rape. And the burden of proof is in these cases is much less than what you would face in a criminal trial. It is preponderance of the evidence, which means that if you are concerned that 50% of the 50, a little over 50%, this person's guilty, it's more than likely that they're guilty than they're not, you can find them guilty in a matter that will get a student expelled, and they will not be able to get into another school because this haunts them. They may not be able to take the bar exam. These are very deleterious effects. So where is the protection to the rights of the accused? Well, here is what one woman, Amanda Childress, said, who's in charge of the sexual assault awareness program at Dartmouth College. Why could we not expel the student based on an allegation of serious sexual misconduct?
About an allegation, I mean, just an accusation.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. So the case is this young man was found innocent by this jurisdictional board of sexual assault. And then two female Swarthmore undergrads complained to the U.S. Department of Education that the school mishandled a number of sexual misconduct cases. And this case was brought up again. And then under the new lower standard, he wouldn't have the standard in a criminal case. But in this case, it's did he more than likely commit this crime? And they decided that he did. And he's suing them. And there are all kinds of organizations, fortunately, out there. One of them is FIRE, which is the Foundation for Individual Rights and Education. Their office has been on this since the Dear Colleague letter was issued in April of 2011, because between 30 and 50 students are now suing these colleges for wrongful, you know, expulsion. And moms of these kids have worked with three state legislatures to make sure that their children can be represented by counsel. This is outrageous to me. Our campuses have become due process free zones in these, what they're being called, kangaroo courts. This is very concerning to me.
Oh, it definitely is. You know, I was going to, I thought, I know you have a bunch of cases and you probably can't go through all of them, but when we had our little planning meeting for today's show, we were talking about this, using expression why it matters. So ladies out there, you know, it's a wonderful thing if you have daughters to think they go off to college, and you want to have colleges have programs in place. If there were to be an incident that your daughter perceived as sexual harassment or assault or rape, that she would have someone to complain to. And the college would try to do something about it. But out those folks out there, if you're moms of a young son, what Mari's talking about is the colleges are setting up programs to process these girls' complaints with a presumption of guilt. Maybe they don't go quite to the expression of presumption of guilt, but they make it very easy for a young woman to make a claim that may not be true, that may be exaggerated. She may, you know, gotten her feelings hurt because he didn't call her the next day. All sorts of reasons that a girl may exaggerate or even entirely create a false accusation. And what the colleges are doing is deciding ahead of time, we're going to take the side of the young woman and not going to treat the young man, the young future, you know, graduates of our college with fairness in the proceedings. And so I love that these moms, some of these moms organized a group just saying, we're not going to let our sons get this kind of label for life because colleges didn't give them a chance. In fact, some of the early drafts of this, I don't know which bill finally went through, but some of the early drafts were saying that the accused, the young man who's being accused, wouldn't have a right to an attorney at this hearing and wouldn't have a right to face his accuser. I mean, so this is just like, this is a assumption of believe the woman because she said it to the detriment of a sense of justice on campus.
Yeah, you know, I feel like this all kind of started with the confirmation hearings of Clarence Thomas. You know, when he was going through that and the left was determined to not allow him to go through to become a Supreme Court justice because he was black. They didn't want
to. And conservative.
You know, yeah, and very conservative and a constitutional, you know, restrictionist. And they did not want him to go through. And so there were these trumped up charges by Anita Hill. And if you remember, what was said over and over and over was said that it's not the nature of the crime. It's the nature of the charges. So it wasn't even whether or not it was true or not what she was saying about him. It was what she was saying. And that's exactly what you're talking about here, Mari, is that it's not the nature of the truth of what really happened. That's not what these young men are being judged on. They're being judged on the nature of the accusation.
Well, these are actual, it's all over the state at every college or university. It takes federal funds, and these harassment or these procedures are very all over the ballpark. And I agree with several of the commentators. I don't understand why this isn't referred to the criminal courts and the police. This isn't something that administrators and students and professors on these hearing boards can deal with. And it is shocking to me that President Obama and the radical liberal fringe, when after they've declared there's a college rape crisis, the response of the Department of Education, acting through its Office of Civil Rights, is another expansion of bureaucratic power. There go due process rights. And these regulations are unanswerable to the voters, the Constitution, or the Bill of Rights. Where are our voices? Our students are on campus. Little do they know what's ahead of them with regard to these hearings, if they are accused.
Absolutely true. You know, I'm glad you brought up this. We actually on this show talked about it a couple or a year ago or so when Claire McCaskill, who sadly still is a U.S. senator, but she brought a bill to along these lines. And her bill actually said that had, you know, it was a process that all colleges that receive federal funding had to follow when there are allegations of sexual harassment or assault or rape, where you had to say you had to follow these. And the procedures included speaking of the young woman making the charge as the accuser, and then the young man who is being accused was not referred to as the accused, but was referred to as the perpetrator.
That's right.
That was Alan Dershowitz saying, you can't magically transform the accused into the perpetrator. You're just kind of, you're deciding guilt, kind of like tying back to Baltimore. You're deciding guilt without trial. And I just caught the time on our heavy thing here. You know what? We went a little long. We always do this. It's so much fun to talk to you. I hope you're enjoying the show. We're having fun, but we're up against our break, and this is Debbie Georgiadis and my two leading ladies today, Mari Sullivan, Lori Medina, and come on back after our break for our last and short segment, Liz Ladies, Can We Talk?
This is 660 AM, The Answer.
Liberals and the media try to paint the Republicans as the party of no. But the way I see it, Republicans, or at least conservatives, are the party of yes. We say yes to families, to strong families. We say yes to educational choice for Americans of every income level. We say yes to life, to babies, and to moms. We say yes to legal immigration. Yes to responsible healthcare system that honors the doctor-patient relationship. We say yes to fiscal responsibility, to actually balancing the budget and living within our means. We say yes to keeping America strong and safe, to defending our country from enemies abroad, and by securing our borders at home. Every week on my show, I urge Americans to speak up for America and say what conservatives stand for. Because when we say that, the mainstream of America will be right with us. This is Debbie Georgiadis, and ladies, can we talk?
Hey, this is George at the Filling Station DFW. You know, I've been talking about the Filling Station quite a while now, and I want to tell you what I love about those Monday nights at the Filling Station. It's a special time when people come and sit at the feet of Jesus and then allow him to do what he does naturally. That's save, heal, deliver, and redeem. Yeah, he still does those things today. It's because he can't help himself. It's who he is. Jesus is the same as he was yesterday. He's that same God today, and he's going to be that same Jesus this coming Monday night. So whether you're a believer, non-believer, just someone trying to figure out who Jesus really is, you should come this Monday evening. It was set aside especially for you. Come meet Jesus. He's waiting for you. The Filling Station DFW meets every Monday evening at 7 p.m. at Summit Life Church. We're in Addison, Texas. Our address is 14240 Midway Road between Beltline and Spring Valley. You can get more information at the Filling Station DFW. That's the Filling Station DFW. Look forward to seeing you there.
Our family had a savings account until our air conditioner needed replacing.
We had a vacation fund before our refrigerator had a meltdown.
My family has no savings and our water heater just quit.
Sadly, sometimes it only takes one home system or appliance breakdown to bust your budget. But buying a home warranty from American Home Shield protects more of your hard-earned money because they help pay your covered repairs for you. For valuable free information, go to ahs.com or call 1-800-600-5107. Who wants to pour money into repairs for things like your air conditioner, refrigerator, plumbing, oven, or washer when you get the budget protection you deserve from American Home Shield? Service requests are subject to a fee for each trade called. Some exclusions and limitations apply. It's up to you. Pay for expensive home system and appliance repairs yourself, or let AHS help pay covered repairs for you. Protect more of your hard-earned money. For valuable free information, including terms, rates, and coverage, go to AHS.com. That's AHS.com, or call 1-800-600-5107.
There is something about the road that beckons, that invites us to pack up the family and leave the world behind. And there is something about an industry-leading unlimited mileage warranty on a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz that gives us the freedom to do exactly that. You take to the highway, rack up the miles for up to 3 years, and drive with the assurance that your Mercedes-Benz is covered. you have the security of being in a car that has been certified to Mercedes-Benz standards, while you enjoy a carefree ownership experience for miles and miles. But while the mileage is unlimited, your time to take advantage of our certified pre-owned sales event is not. Now through June 1st, you can also receive complimentary prepaid maintenance and your first 2 months payments on us on select models, plus 3 months of Sirius XM satellite radio. So hurry into your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer today and see why we say the odometer is there to record the memories.
See your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer for complete details and limitations on certified pre-owned warranties.
660 AM, The Answer.
Back to Ladies Can We Talk with Debbie Georgiadis on 660 AM, The Answer.
Okay, well, we're at our last segment already. Went by very quickly again. Hello, and thank you for tuning in. This is Debbie Georgiadis and Ladies Can We Talk. You know, in this last segment, we try to hit kind of a tweet of the week or a quote of the week that grabbed us. I think Lori has a funny one, so I'll let you go first.
Okay, I get to go first. Okay, Debbie, I don't know if you know, a big endorsement came out this week for Hillary Clinton, a huge endorsement. This may just bury the Clinton cash thing.
There you go.
Larry Flint, the publisher of Hustler magazine, has now endorsed Hillary Clinton for president. So on Twitter, there was a guy, his Twitter handle is at just turn right. He tweeted this, that Larry Flint endorsed Hillary Clinton, and then he said, from one hustler to another.
That was really good. I wish I thought of clever things like that on Twitter. I don't think of them.
Wonderful sense of humor. Well, in honor of U.S. Congressman Lamar Smith, I found that we have only one day to go, ladies and gentlemen. From The Guardian on May 4th, 2007, UN scientists warned that time is running out to tackle global warming. And so we were warned that 8 years ago, we had to get our cans of beans on the shelf and ready to go, because the governments are running out of time to address climate change and to avoid the worst effects of rising temperatures, greater energy efficiency, renewable electrical sources, and new technology to dump carbon dioxide underground. These are some of the brilliant ideas from the UN. But their main idea was that 8 years ago, we had to get on this.
You know, it's been 8 years, so the world's going to end.
Okay.
That's right.
Okay, we're going to have...
So this is our last show, Debbie, I guess.
Uh-oh.
Those 8 years run out tomorrow.
Oh, out tomorrow. Okay, well, enjoy your last evening. Well, I'm going to do a quickie by Michael Moore, who is the... I hate to even call him filmmaker. He's a fantasy...
Propagandist.
There you go, a fantasy propagandist. And he, you know, hates all things conservative, and he's just this big... blustering fool. But anyway, after the whole Baltimore incident, he had many, many tweets, and he finally got around to saying, my next demand, disarm the police. We have a quarter billion Second Amendment guns in our homes for protection. We'll survive till the right cops are hired. So Dana Lash, who's so funny, and she has a talk show on The Blaze, I think, she tweeted back, so you're advising legal gun ownership and vigilantism, which are like two things he hates. He hates guns. He hates legal guns. He's always accusing people of being vigilantes. Oh, that was she kind of nailed him. Well, there are actually many more. I'm going to put a link to this up on the Facebook page also. And Michael Moore had a lot of suggestions. He had disarming the police and just had a bunch of extremely absurd suggestions, which just, if you need any further encouragement to never see a Michael Moore film or support him, you know, please let this be it. Well, you know, this show always races by. And I want to take a few minutes toward the end to, first of all, I want to thank Congressman Lamar Smith for calling in. He is just a very thoughtful, thorough thinker. He's very prepared for all his hearings. He's, you know, he's a congressman who really works hard in Washington, and I appreciate his calling in and his comments and what he shared with us. I also want to take a moment to thank some of our sponsors and advertisers. And, you know, some of you listening to this show probably hear these kind of shows and other talk shows, and you think, what could I do? I mean, how could I ever help anything? I'm just so frustrated. I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I talk around the country all the time. I hear people all the time come up to me after my talks and they say, I'm just so frightened. I don't even know what to do. I'm scared. And so I always say, get involved. My constant mantra, speak up for America. Speak up for everything good about this country. Don't let one opportunity go. But one thing you can do if you live in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, there are some upcoming events. One is by the Preston West Republican Women. And that is a group of Republican women who are hosting a really cool event on May 27th. And Lieutenant Colonel Alan West will be their speaker. And this is he is currently living in Texas now, and he's a president of the National Center for Policy Analysis. He's speaking at a luncheon on May 27th, and tickets are only $40. That's like practically free for an event like that. You get lunch, and you get to hear Alan West, get to ask questions. The tickets are available at PrestonWestRepublicanWomen.com. You can click on his name or on the contact, PWRW, or, you know, send an email. But it's $40. There's instructions how to get a ticket. I know there are tickets left, and I'm emceeing that, so that'll be fun. I'll be there too. Woohoo! Anyway, I really encourage you to go to that. It's a just going to be a really very special event. He is quite the American patriot. I also want to encourage you, you know, and actually, men can go to Republican Women's Club's meeting. I don't know if y'all knew that, but a lot of men are smart and they go and they meet all sorts of activist Republican women. But one reason to go to Republican Women's Club's meetings is that you actually meet other activists. You realize I'm not alone. Other people also are concerned. So on the Park City's Republican Women, and again, that's Park City's Republican Women, on Tuesday, May 19th, there's a very special speaker at 6:30, a woman named Alisa Jordheim, and she's the author of the book Made in the USA: Sex Trafficking of America's Children. And I will tell you, you will think you're reading about some third world country, but you're reading about America. She's going to be a speaker on May 27th. You can go to PCR, you can email PCRW at parkcitiesrepublicanwomen.org. You can call 214-924-8683 or just go on the website parkcitiesrepublicanwomen.org. This is no charge event, and May 19th at 6:30 at the Museum of Biblical Art. She's also going to be a guest on this show coming up on May 17th. So I really encourage you to go to those. I hope you can come to both of those and get more involved and feel like you're actually doing something for the country. So we're up against the end of our happy time. I don't know how this happens each week, but we're up against the end of our time. But I want to thank you for tuning in. Thank Congressman Smith. I also really want to encourage you to go to my website, ladiescanwetalk.org. Go to our Facebook page, Ladies Can We Talk. Like our Facebook page. Comment. Email me at ladiescanwetalk@gmail.com. I get great emails from our listeners. And again, and mostly, please tune in every week, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. to Ladies Can We Talk. This is Debbie Georgiadis, Mari Sullivan, Lori Medina, and Ladies Can We Ever Talk.
Thank you for listening to Ladies Can We Talk with Debbie Georgiadis. To learn more or to contact us, go to ladiescanwetalk.org. And be sure to join us every Sunday at 6 p.m. right here on 660 AM The Answer.
Dennis Prager can't believe how badly the deal with Iran is going.
George W. Bush argues against the lifting of Iran sanctions. It's so bad what's happening with Iran. It is so bad what this administration is doing that even George W. Bush is now speaking out. Oh, this presidency is so destructive. Oh, takes my breath away.
The Dennis Prager Show, weekdays at noon, right before Sean Hannity at 2 on 660 AM, The Answer.
Hi, Debbie Georgiadis here with a Liberty Minute on the subject of income inequality. Nobody wants the poor to remain poor. America's founding belief in the power of liberty is that the poor need not remain poor if they are given equal opportunity and the liberty to apply hard work and their God-given talents to improve themselves. And there are countless examples of Americans who've done exactly that, including my own family. But when the power of individual liberty is discounted and income inequality is addressed by taking from some to give to others, no one truly benefits. The recipients of this forced redistribution have not experienced earned success, so will have no basis for lasting success. And those who have had something taken away have not experienced the honesty of true charity. America should honor the power of liberty and achievement by expanding opportunity, not punishing success.
Ask any of the members and mentors here at Lifestyles Unlimited, the real estate education and mentor group, and they will tell you. It's not how smart you are or how long and how hard you work. It's whether you're on the right map to begin with.